Good morning, everyone, and warm welcome to you all. Wonderful to see you here this morning. Now, today's a very special day. I'm trying to identify the children amongst us. I've got some takers. Wonderful. But today is the day we celebrate that Jesus didn't stay dead, that he's alive, that he came back to life. It was a long time ago on that first Easter morning, Jesus' friends went to the tomb and they found it empty. Angels told them, he's not here, he has risen. That means Jesus is alive forever. And so Christians all over the world have a special way of saying hello on Easter. That's what they do. And one person says, normally it's the leader, that says, Christ is risen. And everyone else answers, he is risen indeed. And so, and we say this because we're excited. We're excited because Jesus is alive. And we want everyone to know it. And it's our way of celebrating this, the happiest news in the world. That Jesus beat death, that he is alive, and that he is with us forever. We don't have many children here this morning. We do have some. But I thought I'd share that with them. And maybe some of us would benefit who didn't know that before. So across the world, in different denominations, people have greeted and are greeting one another like that, saying hello. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray together. Father, as we commit ourselves to you for the ministry of your word, we pray that you would be with us in a special way, Lord. That you would speak to us, that you would touch us, that you would strengthen us, that we would continue in you, that you would illuminate your word, that the revelation you have given to your people would burn afresh in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So our text this morning is found in Luke chapter 24 from verse 1 to 9. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. This is the word of the Lord. I want to ask at the back, can you hear me adequately? So on Good Friday, we stood with John in the throne room of heaven. And if you ever want to get a revelation or a better understanding of what the throne room, God's throne room is like, read Revelation 4 and 5. We watched, and that was on Friday, we watched the Lamb take the scroll. We felt the weight of the silence, and we saw the lion appear as a lamb slain, On Good Friday, we entered into the darkness of the tomb with the final candle removed. And so here we have the three larger candles representing the Trinity, the four smaller ones, representing the four creatures, living creatures, and then 24 very small ones, representing the 24 elders that are mentioned in Revelation. And Friday, when just before you left, I took the final, all the candles were extinguished except one. And then I took it inside, and that depicted Christ going into the tomb. The candle was not blown out to show that Christ's life, although he died on the cross, the life within him is indestructible. But today we stand not in heaven's throne room, but on earth's soil. Not before a scroll, but before a stone. And so not in the silence of heaven, but in this morning's quiet, the quiet of a garden. And so we're not with John in Revelation, but we're with a group of women. A group of women who love Jesus dearly and deeply. You see, Good Friday gave us heaven's perspective on the Lamb. Easter Sunday gives us earth's perspective on the risen Son of Man. And Luke tells the story with almost explicit, stunning simplicity. It's so simple. I've just read the account to you. But he begins this way. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. You see, these women were not expecting resurrection. They were expecting to finish a burial. That's why they had prepared the spices and they were going. They had come with these spices. These were their tools of grief, symbols of finality. The quiet acceptance that death has spoken its last word. And so they came, they went to honor a dead body, not to meet a living Lord. Many of us live the same way. We walk into situations assuming that nothing can change. A broken relationship, or a stubborn sin, a painful memory, or just a weary heart. I want to remind you this morning that resurrection starts, it begins where our expectations end. When we think things won't change. Luke continues. He goes on, he says, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. I'm to tell you that the stone is not rolled away so that Jesus can get out. The stone is rolled away so that the woman can get in. You see, the resurrection does not need human permission. It doesn't need human faith. And the resurrection definitely does not require human understanding. The stone is rolled away because God had acted. And this is where resurrection begins. It begins for us in that same way as well. In other words, it doesn't begin with strength. Not with our strength. Not with our insight. Resurrection starts with God's initiative. God starts it. And as this woman go into the tomb, Luke says, but when they entered, if you look at verse 3, they did not find the body of Jesus. And this is the first proclamation of Easter. Absence. They go in, they don't find the body of Jesus. No angels yet. No trumpets, no light, no glory. Just emptiness. The tomb is empty because death has been emptied of its power. The grave is empty because the curse has been broken. The body is gone because the Son of Man has risen. And so he's not there. But the women do not yet understand. They go there, they see the empty tomb, they stand in the place of victory. But I want you to note how they interpret this through a lens of grief. And how often do we do the same? We stand in the presence of God's work, but interpret it through our wounds and our hurts and our feelings. And then the angel speaks. Luke writes, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And now we see heaven breaking in. The throne room touches that garden. And so the glory of Revelation 4 and 5 flashes, comes through into Luke. And the angels ask a question. They ask the question that can redefine your history. Our history. Our lives. They ask, why do you look for the living among the dead? I want you to see this is not a rebuke. Why do you look for the living among the dead? This is an invitation. In fact, it's a reorientation, a gentle but firm redirection of these women's worldview, the entire worldview. You see, you cannot find Christ in the categories of death. You cannot understand the resurrection with assumptions of despair. In the same way that you can't cling to the crucified body when the living Lord stands behind you. See, this is where the resurrection needs to become practical for us. So that we stop looking for life in dead places. Stop expecting joy from things that cannot give it. And stop returning to habits that continually and keep on draining you. Stop believing lies that Jesus has already defeated. And so the resurrection, Christ's resurrection, calls us to stop searching for life in the tombs or in the graves of our old ways. Don't look for life there. And then we come to the gospel in 7 words. He is not here, he has risen. The lamb who was slain is now the lamb who stands. The Son of Man who was handed over is now the Son of Man who reigns. The very one who died, was placed in a tomb, has shattered the silence of that tomb. And he shattered it with resurrection life. And it's that resurrection life that he offers to each one of us. And that is what we are being invited to. You see, he's not there because death could not hold him. That's what that woman saw. He has risen. And he's risen because he is the King and Lord of life. And it's the very life, his life, that he offers us, that he invites us to. We now see the angels continue, but he writes, and this is the key to understanding. He says, remember how he told you. Remember how he told you that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Remember how he told you. For me, this is the turning point in the passage. It's the bridge between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. I think resurrection faith is born, comes about when we remember. But what do they remember? His words. I believe this is also where discipleship becomes practical. And we're all called to be disciples, followers of Christ, and disciple makers. But it becomes practical when we understand that we read Scripture not to tick a box, but to remember His words. We pray not to perform, but to remember His presence. And so we gather as a church, not out of habit, but again, to remember and remind one another of His promises. We obey not out of duty, but because we remember His Lordship. I want to tell you that we cannot live resurrection lives if we feed on Good Friday's fears, on despair. I think there's no hope. You see, it says in verse 8, and they remembered His words. They remembered His words. Then they remembered His words. And for them, this memory becomes revelation. And when they recollect those words, Christ's words, it becomes resurrection. Because what Jesus said becomes what Jesus did. And for us, remembering His words become and helps us. It becomes courage in suffering. It provides hope in uncertainty, strength in weakness, and clarity when confusion reigns. Clarity. And wonderfully what it does, it provides us with joy, even in sorrow. That's what the resurrection life brings us. And so as we remember His words, this can be our portion. Because resurrection life, or the resurrection, is not just an event. Yes, it's a wonderful event. It happened. So I'm not just describing it as a wonderful thought, something that has some sort of spiritual significance. It's an event, concrete event. It happened. But it's also a way of seeing the world. And if you don't see the world through this lens, the world will be a very bleak place. These were the first witnesses, those women. Luke concludes, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. And so we see that the first preachers of the resurrection are the ones who came expecting death, but instead found life. The first evangelists were those who remembered His words. The first witnesses were those who saw the empty tomb and did not understand it at first until they remembered. And then understood it in terms of the cross, through the cross. I want you to see our resurrection always moves outward. It extends itself, and so must we. And so in that way, we become witnesses. We become witnesses when we speak naturally about Jesus. We become witnesses when we serve sacrificially. When we forgive freely. We become witnesses when we live with integrity. And we definitely become witnesses when we live and love boldly. You see, it's very difficult to love. We become witnesses when we carry that hope into places that still feel like Good Friday. when there's darkness, despair, uncertainty, chaos, disappointment. That's when we become witnesses. You see, the world still has tombs, but it's resurrection people. People who've been transformed, whose worldview has changed, who see and experience the world through the lens of the resurrection, through Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. The life that he invites us to. So that when we go into those tombs, we walk into them with courage. We face death with courage. Despair. When we're exposed to all kinds of depravity, we face it. Even when we look in the mirror of our own lives and we see things that we are not pleased with, we face it. And we know that because of God, because of what Christ has done, there is hope. And so when people say there's power in the cross, it's not just an empty slogan. Or there's blood in the power of the, there's power in the blood of the Lamb. It's not an empty slogan. It's seen through the lens of the resurrection. That power. So that we don't just have a form of religiosity or an outward show of religion, but with the power of Christ in us. The power that changes lives, that transforms people, take people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his light, that gives hope, that allow people to experience the forgiveness of Christ. On Good Friday, we saw the Lamb from God's or from heaven's perspective, slain, worthy, taking the scroll. On this Easter morning, and on that Easter morning, we see the Son of Man from earth's perspective, risen, remembered, proclaimed, celebrated. You see, the Lamb who was slain is the Son of Man who was risen. That very one who entered into the tomb, the silence of the tomb, has now shattered it, that silence, with resurrection life. And that means we cannot be silent. We cannot continue as if, well, same old, life just goes on. It's not. Christ has made all the difference. And so the one who took the scroll in Revelation now holds the key of death and Hades. And so the question that the angels ask still echoes today. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? And so I want to encourage you, do not look for hope in the tombs of this world. Do not look for life in the places of despair. You won't find Christ in those categories of death. I hope you will experience and see that he's not there, that he is risen, and that because he lives, so can we. We live also because he lives. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Lord, I'm reminded about the silence in heaven, the frantic search for who is worthy to open the scroll and break the seals and open the scroll. And no one could be found. And if no one is worthy, then God's promises would not be enacted. And then the elder speaks into John's tears and his fears. And he speaks of one, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, who is worthy. He's worthy. Lord, you have made each one of us worthy. You have taken our guilt. You have taken our sin, taken the weight of the sin of the world on yourself. And you have given us your righteousness. And we praise you for that. We thank you for that redemption moment, Lord. My prayer is that every one of us would enter into that. That it would be the thing that would define us. That we would experience the world and see the world through the lens of your cross, your resurrection, and your divine life in each follower of Christ. Lord, strengthen us that we would throw off the cares and the shackles of this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
We can stand together. We will sing our last song, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear prayer to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
May the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, bless you and grant you peace. May His victory over death fill you with hope and joy. And may His love shine brightly into your hearts. As you go forth from the celebration of His resurrection, may you be strengthened in spirit and renewed in faith, and empowered to share the good news of His victory with all whom you meet. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. Go.